go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is the 11th day of December 2012 as this weary year nears its end in this, the holiday season. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, your home for progressive conversation radio. The stream most easily arrived at simply by going to headonradionetwork.com and clicking Listen Live for the pop-up player. But there are other means as well. We are moving rapidly into the future of communications with The Horn, and you can listen on your mobile smartphone devices as well with things like the TuneIn radio app, the Tuner internet radio app, the Stitcher internet radio app. If you spring for TuneIn Pro, you can even record the program yourself, which is pretty cool too. The podcast address is at whiterosesociety.org under the Head On with Bob Kincaid subdomain. And you can also get the podcast at iTunes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Titanic Tuesday on The Horn. Many thanks for the kind words about last night's program. Apparently it had a real resonance with you, and I sincerely appreciate your letting me know. If you do want to reach the program by email, that's very easy, but it needs to be repeated from time to time. And I haven't had David Tremaine to remind me to in a while. So it probably needs saying again. If you need to reach the program, want to reach the program, desire to reach the program during the program or not during the program, email is the easiest, Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. And you can also reach me if we're all hooked up over at Twitter, the same thing, at Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, and on Facebook, at Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. That's B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Please make a note of it. Now, this is Titanic Tuesday, a day so noted for the Titanic brain powers of the right wing, and probably we've got some catching up to do also from Moran Monday, nominations that we just didn't quite get around to. Because it's kind of hard to ignore somebody like David Gregory over at Meet the Prestitutes. Just sitting there with his thumb up his fundament while another frequent Moran Monday nominee, Rick Brofromix Santorum, says, well, this. Maybe. Oh, God, is it going to be another one of those nights with the interweb tubes? They were working just a minute ago. Come on, tubes. Oh, well. Dadgummit. We'll get around to it in a minute. No, Rick Santorum showed up on Meet the Prestitutes. And David Gregory couldn't be bothered to... You know, how do you call yourself a journalist when you just do for the right-wing, blowhard, gas-bag, culture war ideologues, you know, what Monica did for Bill. Frankly, I don't know.
Sharia law means women have to have head coverings, have no rights, and you don't hear the president say a word about Sharia. You haven't heard him condemn Sharia or radical Islam. You haven't heard him.
Yeah, really. We're back to that. This also fits in with Titanic Tuesday, by the way. The Titanic brains, the giant mental capacities of the right wing. Sharia law means women have to have head coverings. They have no rights, and you don't have to hear the president say a word about Sharia. You haven't heard him condemn Sharia law or radical Islam. No, Ricky. He doesn't condemn radical Islam. He just sends drones to murder them in their sleep. What's that old Teddy Roosevelt phrase? Walk softly and carry a big drone? I mean, I realize that the drone business is a deep bone of contention for us in the left. Oh, I just giggle every time I say the left. What left? But us in progressive circles. Really, though, it must be the holiday season because the things like Rick Santorum have slithered out from... Oh, by the way! Why the... is Rick Santorum on a Sunday news program anyway? Who's he represent? Where's his constituency? Which district is he from? Oh, yeah, right. Planet Norblap 12. Where all the fetuses are happy and never get born and just stay happy little fetuses forever. Or maybe they get hatched or something. Yeah, I think Ricky was hatched. Man, that's an insult to the birds everywhere, isn't it? And turtles. Yeah. Don't hear him condemn Sharia law. It's a holiday tradition, kind of like watching Merry Christmas Charlie Brown or The Grinch or something. These right-wing weirdos coming out, scurrying out from behind the baseboards. To hoot and holler about Sharia law and the Muslims. You know, there are other religions that require women to keep their heads covered, but you never hear them saying anything about that. Well, whatever. But, yeah, here we go again. You just can't pay to have this stuff written.
All pray and no play. The controversial Ground Zero Mosque was supposed to be a cultural center, but turns out it's now an empty space with no community programs. Dozens of worshipers gather at the site for prayer services, but that's pretty much the only activity in the building aside from a small martial arts class.
And by the way, the guy's also in the rear. Rent and Con Ed is suing them for back payments, so... he's in a world of trouble. What a shame.
No kidding.
Maybe you could borrow some money from Donald Trump, who joins us on the phone this morning.
Donald, do you want to finance the mass downtown?
The masquerade?
No, I don't think so. I'd certainly buy the site, but I don't think it's an appropriate use of the site. Mm. A lot of people don't. You know, the Arab world, when they have victory, they like to build a mosque at that site.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I think that really, it's very strongly out there. And I think this is a terrible idea. It shouldn't be done. And let's see what happens.
You got that? There is nothing there, and Fox News is going to have a hissy about it. Oh, you know, people gather there to pray and stuff. And there's a crappy little martial arts class. They're behind on their rent and their power bill. Jesus, it doesn't exactly sound like all-conquering... planet-wide sweeping Islam bringing its Sharia law with it, does it? I'd buy the building. I'm sure you would, Donald. I'm sure you would. You and that thing on your head. But it's the holiday season, so we got to expect some of this lunacy. I really did. I thought we had put the Ground Zero mosque to bed. You know, Ground Zero, not a mosque, bed. But that's how it is when you're up against something as vile as the right wing. You're never completely out of the woods. They're always back. Darlene writing in. She says, what? Oh, well, subject line. Come on! She says, what? Are we supposed to believe that Rick Santorum even cares about women being subjugated in any situation? Are we supposed to believe that he even really cares about women generally? He doesn't give a crap, Darlene says. It's just another excuse for him to bash Obama or raise these false controversies. The jackhole! Yes. Yes, Darlene. He is one of those. In rich, profuse abundance. Because remember, he wants to, you know, his the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky tells him that he has a right to tell every woman in the United States, if not the entire planet, frankly, how to maintain their insides. But that's because Jesus wants him to. As compared to Sharia law that wants women to, that has a, you know, an ages-old tradition of women wearing scarves over their heads in a desert climate where the sand blows all the time. Oh, come on. Come on, indeed. Thank you, Darlene. Marty asking, could Santorum be an orc? Or another of Sauron's creatures? You know, I don't think he qualifies as, you know, it's not like he's a member of the Uruk-hai or anything. He's not one of those, you know, orcs on steroids or anything. No, he's more like one of those pissant goblins from The Hobbit. But he's persistent, just as they were. From Texas Betsy about the Ground Zero Mosque. Why don't they have solar panels and organic vegetable gardens like any self-respecting house of worship? Oh, don't start, Betsy. Because it's New York City, and they may not be able to get to the roof. Somebody else may own the roof where they would put the... Right. Dr. John, who is busy grading papers, I'm told... Slow and steady wins the race, Dr. John. Asking, so the Muslim world plot is to conquer Christendom one unpaid power bill at a time? And yeah right, because you heard the Donald. You know, they like to build a mosque wherever they have a victory. It's a very bad idea. Excuse me, I'm kind of up with history and everything, but when was the victory? I don't recall the story about the Seljuk Turks or the Ottoman Bey rolling across Manhattan Island. You catch that? Implicit in that Trump boob's statement is that somehow Muslims won something in New York. A brand new car. No. I get it. They won on September 11th, 2001. They won. It was a big victory. Was it? Didn't we exact revenge to the tune of like 10,000 for 30,000 Middle Eastern people for every person who died on September 11th? Man, many more victories like that, and they'll be gone. And then who'll pay the power bill? Jesus. You ever get a little, hopeless? Because it just seems like as long as this is going on, we have a great, the culture is at hazard. The nation is at hazard. I won't bore you with the details, but I've been reading around. I do this just for kicks. I've been reading around in some ancient Roman history. Tacitus, Dio Cassius, folks like that. And over and over again, you get kind of smacked upside the head with the fact that you gotta, when you're running an empire, and we are, if you get lost in the small stuff, the big stuff is going to. I mean, my word, by the time Constantine was emperor, there'd been about 300 years of emperors. I mean, by the time, with the 300th anniversary of the passing of Octavian, who had been, I told you I wouldn't bore you with this, and now I'm gonna, who had been basically the first emperor, but never really called himself emperor, he just sort of gathered all the civic duties unto himself. He had died during the reign, AD 12, AD 13, AD 15? Common Era. And that 300th anniversary passed during the reign of Constantine. 300 years they had been at empire. And that's not even counting the days of the Republic. And Constantine, of course, was the one who allowed the Christians to slowly but surely inveigle their way into Roman government. And instead of 476 A.D. marking the end of the fall of the Roman Empire, probably even though he brought some stability and stuff, you could make an argument that the real close of the Roman Empire happens with Constantine and his having given great influence to the Christians. Because that's when a lot of everything broke down. You got to pay attention to the big stuff. Right. Oh, dear. Michael. Oh, God. With our buddy Michael, Kid A from the chat room when he pops in. Our buddy Michael, sending on the subject line Santorum, said, I thought Bro Fromix was an anal ring wraith. The undead evil spirit of an angry frothy hobbit dildo bugger. Dildo Bagger. Oh, God, is it going to be one of those nights? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And by the way, just because we all need a giggle, there's this. From the man Charles Pierce refers to as Huckleberry Closet Case. Senator Lindsey Graham Cracker. This from, of course, Radio Rwanda, Fox News. Anytime now. Any minute. There we go.
Well, here's where the president is going to have a rude awakening. We'll get to the end of the year, and there'll be some small deal to get us past the end of the year, because sequestration hits in January, wipes out the Department of Defense, a lot of draconian cuts across the board, and taxes on everyone goes up. So I hope Boehner and Obama can find a way to avoid the initial effects of the fiscal cliff. But in February or March, you have to raise the debt ceiling. And I can tell you this, there's a hardening on the Republican side. We're not going to raise the debt ceiling. We're not going to let Obama borrow any more money, or any American Congress borrow any more money, until we fix this country from becoming Greece, and that requires significant entitlement reform.
No, wait. We've so got to go back over this. Hey, Doc? Yeah, in a moment, as soon as I get my cigar lighted. Lit. Your English is so Texan sometimes. No, really, Doc. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Come here. You gotta hear this. Well, I thought, such a hurry. Well, you'll understand in a minute. I want you to, okay. You ready for this, Doc? All right.
Well, here's where the president is going to have a rude awakening. We'll get to the end of the year, and there'll be some small deal to get us past the end of the year, because sequestration hits in January, wipes out the Department of Defense, a lot of draconian cuts.
Did you get that, Doc? It wipes out the Department of Defense. I guess they're just going to bring the bulldozers in and plow under the Pentagon. Wipes out the Department of Defense. We're just going to leave our armies in the field and let them start foraging off the countryside, and it'll be like the lost legions of Rome. Bob, sometimes we really do have to talk to you about this obsession you have with ancient Rome. Well, not tonight. But that's not why I called you over here, Doc.
Across the board, and tax.
Now, Doc, you do know this is Senator Lindsey Graham Cracker, right?
Taxes on everyone goes up, so I hope Boehner and Obama can find a way to avoid the initial effects of the fiscal cliff. But in February or March, you have to raise the debt ceiling. And I can tell you this, there's a hardening on the Republican side.
Oh my God, Bob, now I understand why you called me over here. Senator Lindsey Graham Cracker just said there's a hardening in the Republican Party. Oh my. His Freudian slip is showing. You almost wish he had a cigar, do you not? Oh yeah, that'd be precious, Doc. Now we keep you on retainer for just these moments. A hardening in the Republican Party. I need to go and put this in my notes. Wouldn't you love to know what it is that he dreams about? His dreams have probably got to just be a real lulu, as you people say over here. Yeah, I can just imagine. Yeah, well, back to your cigar, Doc. Dankeschön. Bitteschön. No, really. There's been a hardening in the...
Yeah. ...the debt ceiling. And I can tell you this, there's a hardening on the Republican side. We're not going to raise the debt ceiling. We're not going to let Obama borrow any more money, or any American Congress borrow any more money, until we...
Has anybody, warned their parents to keep their little girls and little boys at home because of this hardening on the Republican side? Jesus. These Titanic intellects, don't even realize that they're a walking parody of themselves. I mean, this stuff writes itself. It does. But it's going to get better. That's the fun part. It's going to get better. Trust me.
Fix this country from becoming Greece, and that requires significant entitlement reform to save Social Security and bankruptcy.
Hardening and Greece within 50 words of each other? This is restaurant quality, Huckleberry.
From Social Security and Medicare from bankruptcy. Social Security is going bankrupt in about 20-25 years.
No, it's not, and you're a liar. Social Security is sound as a pound, as they say, until 2037, which would be 25 years from now, at which point, if absolutely nothing is done, absolutely nothing, then benefits would decrease somewhat. But the available fixes are out there, and they're very good. I mean, they would work if we would do them. You know, like making people who make more than $106,000 a year continue to pay Social Security taxes on every penny they earn. But then again, we must also remember that there's no Social Security tax on capital gains now, is there? No. No, you know, they just lie.
Social Security's going broke. Of course, we want it too.
Yay, we'll have a party with cake and pie and stuff on that day.
Medicare is going bankrupt in 15 or 20 years, and the baby boomers are coming in at 10,000 a day, and we just can't sustain those programs.
The president last week, he said, we're not going to play that game. He said, well, you know, last time around, they wouldn't let the debt ceiling go up, and I'm going to tell you right now, he said something to this effect, we are not going to play that game.
Yes, we will play that game, Mr. President, because it's not a game. The game you're playing is small ball. You're talking about race.
No, he didn't. We've got hardening, grease, and balls now. Lindsay, really? Can nobody talk to you about this? Doc, I had it. Yeah, I bet it games. Kind of like Mind Games, that yacht owned by Chris Klein. It is gamesmanship inside the halls of government in this country. And what do you call it? Well, I mean, treason is an available word now, isn't it? What do you call what the Senate has done for the past 4 years, using the filibuster more often than at any other period of time in American history, if that is not gamesmanship? It is certainly not principled objection. Unless the principles we're talking about are the principles by which they live, wherein granny starving is an admirable goal. Yeah, see, Marty heard that too. Small ball, someone needs to tell old Lindsay that the San Francisco Giants won this year's World Series playing, for the most part, small ball. And that's the baseball reference. Small ball is the way to win ball games. But I object. And did you notice that Senator Graham Cracker says that, yes, they are going to play this game. But the game they're playing is with your life and my life and the lives of our children, our grandchildren. Heck, there may be great-grandmas and great-grandpas out there in the audience among the Horn family. And that's a level of political gamesmanship where the football or the baseball is made of flesh, blood, up with which I will not put, and hopefully up with which you will not put either.
Damn, I still got the preposition at the end of the sentence. Meanwhile, Dr. John, who is straying from his paper grading, said, hardening in the GOP, first, LOL. Second, obviously untrue, considering Limbaugh's advertising base. Oh! Men, are you having a problem doing that manly thing? Meet Bob. Not me. Yeah, herbal... I don't know, maybe they're taking their herbal hardening pills. Nice job working Limbaugh into that one, John. Michael noticing. Yeah. See, you guys are just plugged right in. A hardening? Really? Oh, God. But we're not done yet with Senator Graham Cracker. Now, he's got one more for us. And this one's kind of for the ages.
Raising rates on the top 2% that would run the government for 11 days. You just got reelected. How about doing something big that's not liberal? How about doing...
Big, hardening, grease, ball, big. Thank you, goddess of irony. Were I some sort of Caesar, I would build you a temple. Because it's obvious that you're working a lot harder than that other one that mainly spends its time making sure that people catch passes on crossing routes or fades into the end zone. Doing something big that's not liberal. When's the last time he did anything liberal? I mean, just one liberal to another, right? When's the last time... And this is not me gooning on Barack Obama. It's merely a reflection of his nature. When is the last time that Barack Obama did anything liberal? Because I can't remember any. I mean, wouldn't it be liberal to stop the drone program? Wouldn't it be liberal to say, that's it, we're out of our foreign wars, goodbye, we're going to mind our own business? Wouldn't that be liberal? Wouldn't universal single-payer health care be liberal? Wouldn't using the power of one's executive department and executive orders in order to stop something like mountaintop removal administratively, wouldn't that be liberal? Next question. Have any of those things happened? Short answer, no. None of them. Something big that's not liberal. I mean, this just beats cat's effing. I just got to hear that line one more time.
Something big that's not liberal. How about doing something big that really is bipartisan? Every big idea he has is a liberal idea that drowns us in debt. How about...
Shut the up, Lindsay! Because, see, this is kind of like... I mean, I know what he's still going to say. Big liberal ideas that drown us in debt. I understand now that it was a big liberal idea for George W. Bush to run two wars off the books on credit cards? Because that's what ran up the debt, Lindsay, and you were right there for every damn bit of it. Was it a big liberal idea that drowns us in debt to mollycoddle Wall Street? To tie the hands and essentially hamstring the SEC so that the parasites on Wall Street could rob us blind in the housing crisis? Was that one of those big, because that happened and you were for it all the way, Senator Graham Cracker. That noise, that's his closet door. But this is, after all, a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. Now, I want to make sure we get all the context, so here we go. Just go back. Promise I'll shut up this time.
Liberal. How about doing something big that really is bipartisan? Every big idea he has is a liberal idea that drowns us in debt. How about manning up here, Mr. President, and use your mandate to bring this country together to stop us from becoming...
No, he did not. Oh, yes, he did. Lindsey Graham Cracker just told the President of the United States to man up. And then he used the word mandate. At this point, I think he's created a sort of closet haiku, hasn't he? Balls, grease, big, man up, mandate, hardening. Whew. Lindsey Graham. Told, and told the President of the United States to man up. To man up. Yes, he did.
How about manning up here, Mr. President, and use your mandate to bring this country together to stop us from becoming Greece?
And we're back to Greece again. And, of course, you understand what's going to make us Greece, right? It's all those useless eaters out there. And all those people just... going to the doctor for fun when they're old. That's what's going to drown us in debt and make us grease. Not a political class that doesn't understand that the Pentagon is killing the thing it is supposed to protect. Oh, no. Not a wealth class that pays less in taxes than a Walmart worker from a percentage standpoint. Michael noting, when Lindsay Lohan Graham thinks about the president, oh heck, the only game he's playing is blue balls. Dr. John says, this is just absurd. So Graham wants something big from Obama and is careful to note that the GOP is hardening too. Good Lord, man. Or as Mel Brooks would say in Blazing Saddles, woof! Fritz in Arkansas. Lindsey Graham sure is working it. That's W-E-R-K-I-N-G it. Sounds like Lindsey needs to find a fellow traveler among the log cabin crowd. That is, if they'll put up with him. It's not like he has to guest host on RuPaul's Drag Race or anything. Yeah, but if you get him liquored up, oh well. Marty asking, you mean really liberal or Tea Party liberal? According to a teabagger, Obama getting up in the morning is a liberal thing. Marty also says, assuming Graham Cracker is right and Obama is really a liberal, considering Obama was just reelected, one can assume that American people want these big liberal money-costing ideas. Yeah, that would seem to... So what... All kidding aside, what Senator Graham Cracker is saying is that Barack Obama should ignore the people who put him in office and just behave like a good, oh dear, yeah, White House, yeah, and do what the Senate Republicans and John Boehner in the House tell him to do. I think there's a historic model for that kind of conduct. Clayton's taking no chances. He says, next thing you know, Lindsay in the closet will want to examine our hardness and our largeness. Yeah, Clayton, you forgot. He'll want to know whether we're playing, you know, small ball. Jesus criminy. Well, it is Titanic Tuesday. No getting around it. But there's that. And then, well, if you really want to talk Titanic, and you really want to go pro, you can't do much better than Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III of Alabamistan. Oh, yeah. Because he's worried about us becoming Greece, too. And he's pretty sure he knows what it is that's going to make us Greece. And what's going to make us Greece is, of course, what I mentioned a few minutes ago, all those useless eaters. Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, who, back earlier in his career as a young U.S. attorney, said, you know, once upon a time, I used to think the Klan was pretty cool, until I found out they smoked dope. Really? I'm not making that up. Also, while a U.S. attorney, he advised a man who had recently become a member of the U.S. Attorney's Office and who also happened to be of color, he advised him to be careful how you talk to the women folk in the office, boy. Yeah. Really. That, Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. Jesus Christ. I mean, even 65, 70 years ago, who named their kid Beauregard? It's what you name your freaking hunting dog, Beauregard. But no, for some reason or another, Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III decided it'd be a real good idea to send him over to CNN to talk to, you know, to give the little lady a talking to, that solenoid O'Brien lady. the titanic mind of Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions of Hood of Alabama stand really wasn't up to the task. This will take a couple of minutes, but it's worth your time.
But there are people who'd say if you're doing cuts, you invariably hurt people who need food and who are on food stamps so that they can buy supplemental food. I mean, it's 61% of households in your state have children who are recipients of the food program that they're on.
Soledad, this program has been growing out of control at an incredible rate, and there are a lot of people receiving benefits that do not qualify and should not receive them. But the focus...
And Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III can tell you exactly, name by name, every one of them families that don't need and don't deserve to be eating the food. Jesus. Can you, of course you can. Can you comprehend? I mean, can you get all the way down into the deep recesses of your cerebellum and all that lobby business? Can you really just get there with the manifest evil that resides inside Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Hood? The man just said that he knows who should eat and who should not. It's as if he wants some sort of corn pone cultural revolution in Alabama stan.
Of our government program should be, as always in America, to help people in need. No child, no person who needs food should be denied that food.
But he will, by God, define what need means.
Proposes that. But we're talking about an amendment that I offered that would have reduced and closed a loophole of $8 billion when we would spend $800 billion, was opposed by saying it would help leave people hungry in America, but it would have only eliminated abuses in the program.
But
yeah, because Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Hood has never lived on a food stamp budget, which is around $3 a day. $3 a day. Study after study shows that there is very little fraud or abuse inside the SNAP or food stamp program. But this man can swallow a mountain and choke on a gnat. This man can blithely look at the unpatriotic unwillingness of his rich donors to pay for the privilege of being an American citizen. But he's got a problem with somebody who might be right on the line, the eligibility line, which is really low to begin with, and say that they're the cause of our economic woes. Get him, Soledad!
So we just need to have some change.
But on those two fronts, let me just stop you there for a second. You say it's growing out of control. You voted, in fact, right, in 2002 and in 2008 to grow the program yourself, I think first under President Bush in 2002. And then when it comes to fraud, Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says SNAP has one of the most rigorous quality control systems of any public benefit program in recent years, has received its lowest error rates on record. I mean, people highlight the program as actually not having a lot of fraud, that most people who are on it are not somehow working the system. They're just hungry people.
That's not accurate.
Which part? That people aren't hungry? That people who don't have food don't get hungry? You know, I appreciate this little moment of video journalism by Soledad O'Brien. It doesn't involve the coal industry, so CNN apparently let her loose. And she didn't have to soft soap it. That's not accurate, says Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions of Hood.
What they're doing is they're counting the computer system fraud error rate, but they're not out counting the real people who are filing false incomes or haven't reported changes in their income. But again, we want to be sure that people who are in need...
What kind of changes? Honest to God, what kind of changes, Senator Sessions? People who were making $12,000 a year, but maybe thanks to some extra crappy job in Alabamistan are making $15,000. People who were making $21,000, but maybe added a fourth job, and now they're making $26,000. And that's going to wreck us? Or is he alleging that his buddies, his pals in the 1% are on food stamps? And what about the millions, if not billions, paid out to his buddies in the banking industry to administer the program? Because we turned the administration of food stamps into a profit-making center for the J.P. Morgan Chases and whatnot of the world. Where's that big juvenile delinquent in the sky when you need him? Zip!
Get that need. Americans always believe in that. We're not trying to deny people need, but surely one would not contend that a program that has gone up fourfold in 10 years and had the biggest increase ever just this month at a time when unemployment dropped doesn't need some review and to be made better.
When they look at the people,
he obviously hasn't gotten the phone call from Bentonville, Arkansas yet, because food stamps, by virtue of their commercialization, are a huge, huge sub and prop to places like Wally World. Just saying.
Well, in your state, though, the people in your state, it's something like 67% of the people in your state, and well, for the nation, it's 1 in 6 people on food stamps. In your state, it's 1 in 5. In your state, 1 in 5. So 20% of your constituents are on food stamps, and they look at the people who are actually eligible. It's something like under 70% who are eligible who sign up. So I think the problem could be in the reverse, that not as many people who could get food stamps are on it.
Well, you'd like to have more. Well, the Department of Agriculture said if you give more food stamps out, it helps the economy. When we borrow the money to send it out, that obviously cannot be so. Look,
obviously,
we want to
I don't
be sure
that
people
that
who
means.
Need it get that aid.
I guess my question
one
is,
out of five,
I hear you.
Do you think there's no problem with the program?
I have no idea. I guess my question would be, when you're thinking of things to cut, right? People basically say, why are you trying to balance the budget on people who are making under $23,000 a year? I think that range, roughly, is the national average for what a family of four would get on food stamps. So why not cut something else? There are other things that could be on the table before you pick a program that is feeding the nation's poor children. I mean,
I'm not picking a program. I say all programs need to be examined in this government. This government is wasting money every day. There is no doubt about that. And we've got.
And if all them poor people would get out there and chop the cotton, then by God, we'd probably have a booming economy. Jesus Christ, it's unbearable. Brandon, going back to Senator Graham Cracker, Brandon from Brooklyn says, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Senator I'm in the Closet Lindsey Graham Cracker just tell the president to man up? I think he's making a snide racial reference here, calling the president a boy. Yes, Brandon, he is! Just like What's-His-Name said to Reverend Al Sharpton on MSNBC earlier this year, describing President Obama to Al Sharpton as your boy. Coincidence? No, Brandon, it's no coincidence. It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Hey, let's go to the phones. We've got Sandra. Hey, Sandra.
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you.
Hey, so how about, like, the only thing that will convince the reef thugs is to cease to call it hunger, to call hunger wrong and join them in calling it right. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can go to our very bipartisan, in quote, Abraham Lincoln for that little play on words.
Yeah, absolutely. And, some Republican, and somebody can probably tell me, but they'll Google it or something. Didn't some Republican in the last couple of years say that hunger was good because it was a motivating force?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, so I'm not being too far-fetched by substituting hunger for slavery in there, am I?
No. No.
I mean, you know,
well, I think
I don't even know what to say. It is so horrific. But you know what? I get Soledad. She has found her realness. That girl ain't playing around. I enjoy every time I hear a take from her lately. She calling them cracks every damn day. He was fluttered.
She is, and you'll notice that. I mean, my only beef with Soledad is that she. As long as it doesn't touch on environmental or coal-based issues, she is ferocious and good.
Well, she used to be completely milk toast on all the issues. I'm just saying, I don't know what happened, but she really has no problem challenging them freaks, and because they're used to the American kind of stenography. He was really flustered there. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, he was not I guess he just thought he was going to go in there and give the little woman a talking to.
Well, when presented with facts, all of a sudden it's a different world. You know, the idea that, did you know that most people a lot of people who qualify for food stamps don't even apply. So the program is underutilized. I mean, I know his head was going to explode. He didn't know what to say. That was beautiful.
And his only response, you'll know, was, oh, so you're saying you want more people on the food stamps.
Well, yeah, but they don't seem to be able to comprehend that all these people are on the food stamps because they are hungry.
Yeah, because the rest of their, whatever they have in the way of a family budget is eaten up by things like rent.
Yeah, and no job, and they gotta feed their kids, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, regressive taxation, you know, that comes in play.
The economy collapsed a few years ago, and they still ain't recovered for a huge portion of this country. They're gonna tap into whatever meager safety net is there. I mean, they're so disgusting, it's too much. I'm so sick to death of these people, but I don't know if you noticed this, but this, I just got to bring this. Do you know that the some members of the Knesset, they hold a rally called Banish the Darkness? It's an anti-migrant rally in Tel Aviv.
What?
Banish the Darkness. It's like an anti-African immigrant a rally. You know, just some hate. But I just was tripping on the name, Banish the Darkness. Now, I mean, Israel is just a straight-up apartheid state now. There is no pretense anymore, is it? I mean, it's crazy.
No, it's, the rubber mask is off.
Man, I'm just sort of like, good Jesus on that. Anyway, I guess I was sort of just taken aback by the name of it. It's way up north.
Well, it's either that or a rally to make sure that a one-hit wonder band that sounds a lot like Queen doesn't come to Israel or something. You remember The Darkness, right?
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. That probably had no place in that. But, no, The Darkness, I mean, that's right. That's right up there with those little stickers that I saw in Germany that said, good guests come and good guests leave. You know, with a line drawing of course, a Muslim woman. Yeah, just, I mean, but you know, there's, and you know, look at the Golden Dawn in Greece. I mean, there is a reflowering of fascism going on in Europe. Look at Anders Breivik in Norway.
I mean, with Greece, you know, I think that if the coalition there, they need to collapse because that other left socialist government needs to take the reign and demand some end to the misery. I mean, I can't even believe the state of it. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And if the socialists can't put a stop to it by saying, we're not paying the debt, screw you, we're getting out of the euro, then I fear the whole country will just go right wing. And then it'll be fascist throughout Greece. Because, you know...
Well, and they've got that streak and have had that streak for about 100 years now, that there's something in Greece that likes a little fascism here and there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the generals, that wasn't too long ago. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that the euro situation... It is forecast to get a hell of a lot worse in the new year. I mean, it's calm right now, but it's going to get really bad quite quickly, I think, when the new year hits. But anyway, the other reason why I called was I can't keep up with the betrayals coming fast and furious because these people are tripping if they think they're going to get away with raising up the retirement age for Medicare and try to roll it into Obamacare that don't even exist yet.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I don't know, anybody who's ever sat down to a hand to draw poker and tried to draw to an inside straight knows that it doesn't happen, but these guys seem to be thinking that it does.
No, but these are guys, the people who sit in a chair for a living. A. B. They're just really disgusting sort of, I don't know, handmaidens for this third way crap and the true voice of the Obama White House. But the problem with that is no matter how much Obama wants to go to China on the entitlements, he's going to be a lame duck completely in about a minute here. So his fortunes are no longer tied to all the Democrats who want to remain a relevant fucking party up in here. So if they want to destroy their brand, they can go ahead and do this.
Yeah, because this is to do something like that is to basically say, nah, we're not interested in taking the House back and building a majority in the Senate in 2014. We like things
because
like they are.
No one is buying. No one who. Now, no one's buying this. Trust me, they did a quote trial balloon, and it fell pretty fucking hard because all the polling I've seen, it's a no go. This is not happening as far as the public is concerned.
Right. No, it's not. And I mean, can we back up for just a minute here, Sandra? Because lost, or it seems lost in all of this, just as food stamps is a pretty meager outlay of funding on which to eat. So too, let's consider the average. What's the average Social Security benefit for a 65-year-old retiree? Did I read somewhere that it's around in the neighborhood of $1,200, $1,300, $1,400?
Yeah, I thought it was like $15,000 on average at the. You know what I mean? Around that amount,
so,
if not less.
So if I understand this correctly, and we heard Lindsey Graham Cracker say Social Security is going bankrupt, and every time somebody says that, whoever says it, I think, should be taken outside and slapped a few times. Because
unless the U.S. government goes bankrupt, Social Security isn't, basically.
Right. Social Security continues for as long as the government declares that it will continue. I mean, it's not like there's a diminishing pot of gold somewhere in a cave.
No, it's tied in with the solvency and the sovereignty of this nation state.
Do you remember when George W. Bush went to Parkersburg, West Virginia, to the Bureau of Public Debt and said, hey, this is a filing cabinet full of worthless IOUs?
Yeah.
talking about Social Security. But what I was getting at though is that to the same extent that Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III thinks that we can balance the budget by not feeding hungry people, so too Senator Graham and other cronies, I guess they think that retirees are just out there rolling in the dough, you know, $1,500 at a time.
And now they have to all of a sudden go into the private sector market for insurance at the age of 65? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And again,
what planet does that work on?
Right. I come back to our generation. I know it. You know it. The Horn family knows it. But, you know, the folks out there that watch Dancing with the Lunatics or, you know, Who's Going to Be the Next Great Country Star, all those other, or, you know, the Attack of the Killer Whitetail or all the stuff that's on the TV of our generation, do they know that there is an effing coming for them that they just, that they haven't even begun to comprehend? Because,
well, if Michigan is any indication of it, I guess they haven't.
Yeah, because Michigan got to, I mean, I hear they're going to change all the Welcome to Michigan signs, Sandra. All the Welcome to Michigan signs are going to say, Welcome to Michigan, now a lot more like Alabama, only colder.
Oh, you know, no, I mean, that situation in Michigan is just sort of stunning. And, you know, it is so over the top that even Obama, which, you know, I'm like, wow, knock my ass over, he actually said right to work for less. Now, he probably tripping because he got the automotive industry up in his ears saying, listen, this shit ain't cool. We don't like this. The automotive industry executives are not on board with this bullshit right here.
No, of course not, because they... Frankly, where something like the UAW is concerned, you know, this is not 1920.
They don't want the unrest it's going to cause on their work floor.
Right.
Which it will.
Right. It is easier to deal. I mean, collective bargaining is good for business, too.
Right. Well, I mean, so it's interesting, and I was kind of surprised that he spoke up about it, but then I thought, well, no, we're not talking about some BS here now. We're talking about the sort of destruction of a revenue stream for the Democrats. There's a lot at stake with this move right here. This is a major deal. If you look past just the working aspect of it to the funding of the Democratic Party, this is a big problem.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's just stupefying that we live in a political system where the right to collective bargaining is enshrined in sort of international documents at the UN. But in this country, you shift over parties, all of a sudden your human rights are up for grabs.
Yeah.
The political system is really disturbing here.
But I come back to that probably annoying inquiry I keep making, Sandra. How many people in this country understand that the right to collective bargaining is a function of human rights?
Well, no, they don't, and that's also a big part of the problem going forward as our rights are stripped away and we're made into serfs. Because I don't know if you know about this, but the whole constitutional whatever question two that they passed in Georgia means that they can now take all the public money and give it to these charter schools by law.
Yeah.
So it's straight up, we're going to privatize every school and we're going to turn the public school into schools where you throw away the kids you don't want. The poor, the learning disabled, the disabled kids.
Test lower than the 90th percentile.
Right. So they're going to turn public school in like they do with public housing and any other sort of welfare program. So Red flag, folks. They want to means test Social Security and Medicare. When you turn it into a welfare program, it gets destroyed.
Right, because
and Georgia is a shithole, and it seems to be even a bigger one now, from what I can tell.
Yeah, and you know, a few minutes ago, Sandra Darlene wrote in on with regard to Senator Sessions and said, "Who keeps reelecting this miserable freak?" And you know, therein lies the rub, because some of those 60% who are on food stamps in Alabama go to the polls every chance they get, and they reelect the man who wants to starve them.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean,
you talk about Georgia. Paul Brown, you know, the guy who said science is satanic information from the pits of hell.
Yeah.
That guy ran unopposed in a district that includes the campus of the University of Georgia at Athens. Now, supposedly, places like Athens have at least... In the deep south, you can say that at a place like Athens or Tuscaloosa or even Oxpatch, Mississippi, that there's a larger than average gathering of liberal and or progressive people. And even the district where the University of Georgia sits could not find a Democrat to oppose Paul Brown. And that to me is more than profound. I mean, that's a wholesale cultural shift.
Well, another thing that I think is quite interesting and really troubling is if you look at this whole climate thing, you know, where you have this sort of severe Dust Bowl level drought is, of course, in the same areas where they don't believe that climate change exists. Now, if it stays dry and continues to be dry, what's going to stop mass internal climate catastrophe migrants from fleeing north?
Nothing until you get to the Canadian border.
No, I don't mean up to the Canadian. I just mean just out of the drought area that's, you know, destroying that part of the country. There are so many festering issues that are being... unattended to because people are so damn ignorant. It's just stunning to me.
But
I guess they're praying
to
God for water. I mean, I don't.
Well, they are. But again, there that factor comes into play. I mean, look at that massive tornado line that ran through Alabama. Well, they're just rebuilding, and they're going to rebuild.
God spared some, right?
Right. God killed some. God spared some, and they're going to rebuild. And God will send another tornado to winnow out the sinners, I guess. But
the government may not rebuild again, though. There is that.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, and that is how ultimately you get to cultural collapse, you know, when the Rapa Nuiization of places like Alabama is when you get to the point where you can't do it anymore.
Well, I already hear the horrible Republicans saying, oh, no, because they need $60 billion to rebuild the whole Sandy area. And they're already, oh, no, that's too much. You know, we can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you cut Social Security, I guess. I mean, it seems like every issue we need to deal with will just, from going forward now, will just be held hostage. With Obama talking about I'm not going to play that game, I mean, I was laughing at Crack, but he has a point. You know, Obama will be playing, so because they're going to make him play.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he said that, I was like, yeah, and you'll be playing, I thought to myself at the time.
Well, and already is. I mean, and going back to what you just said about Sandy a minute ago, there's Representative Scott Garrett, who's a Republican from New Jersey, and he says that spending money to rebuild after Sandy in his own state, he says that is wasteful spending.
Well, do you know
that? I mean, will the people of New Jersey send him home now? After you say crap like that to somebody whose whole world is just gone?
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea what what these people think the public is thinking about them. I know that the percentage point has like damn near doubled and tripled on who believes in the climate now. I know that.
Right.
And but you know what? I don't know if you know this, but there's still people in Rockaway. They have no electricity, no heat or water. And it's been 6 weeks, Bob.
Yeah. No, right, and no sign of help. Did you see that story that Isaac sent around on Twitter the other day about the Red Cross delivering the bag of broken hamburgers?
I was just like, the Red Cross that's demanding $10 from your cell phone from millions upon millions of people. Where's the money, Bob?
Nobody knows. Well, there's a lot of pushback against the Red Cross out of this.
People are like freaking out that they're not coughing up because they know that zillions of people contribute by that press this and then $10 from your phone. Come on now, there's loads of money and where is it?
Nowhere.
I mean, it's just kind of, one other thing about the.
Well, that bag of broken hamburgers story just blew my mind.
Along with the accompanying bag of buns, you know about that too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is sort of, I just don't even know what to say. It's too much.
Well, you know, where's Mayor Bloomberg? Do the folks who live in Far Rockaway just not exist?
Well, like I said the last time we talked, I think that it's almost a case that, well, you had electricity and stuff before, you're not going to get it ever again. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but they don't have it.
Right. You're exaggerating, but we don't know how much.
Right, because they still don't have it. And I talked to you about a week ago. You see what I mean? So
yeah.
I was being facetious, but I'm starting to think
that little phrase that you introduced into the dialogue a year and a half or 2 years ago, new normal, keeps coming back to haunt us. You know, the new normal is that you don't have electricity and you don't have heat in the middle of winter in Rockaway.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, and that can be applied across the board because come January 1st, the new normal is no more unemployment insurance for millions of people. And what revenue stream they get, you tell me.
I got no idea. And yet all the discussion is about what happened, you know, with the fiscal cliff. You know, what's going to happen to the poor little Pentagon? As if there's some general out there with his nose pressed up against a frosty window pane. More, please. No.
Well, I mean, we've already lost the war just by virtue of Obama talking about cutting. Can he not look across the goddamn pond and see England? They're facing a triple, not double, triple dip. And he has all the resources. The borrowing costs are at a historic low, meaning that people are throwing money at the U.S. Please do something with it. I'll pay you. You understand?
Right, because there's a perception. I mean, the perception still exists, and I don't think unjustifiably so, that the economy of the United States is a pretty good investment bet.
Not if they decide they want to go for 5 or 10 years of this austerity
then that notion goes away.
Self-inflicted, you know, by Obama and the Republicans because they're joined together in this immiseration.
And you know, you mentioned, you know, he's going to be a lame duck very, very soon. Is this what we just get to expect for the next 4 years?
I think we get to see what the real deal is with him. You know, starting with, I'm letting all the corporate money I can get to fund my inauguration. You know, I thought that's interesting.
Oh yeah.
You know, the foreign affairs should be interesting, starting with the freak that they seem determined to make Secretary of State. I don't give a hell about the Republicans' disdain for Rice. She's a horror show.
Yeah, cruise missile liberal.
I mean, it's just keep coming out. Now the latest is her close relationship with the horror show that's the Congo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she was all over those tyrants in her position as whatever to Africa. So she's, you know, no yuck.
Yeah.
I mean, she's no different than the usual types. But
I mean, but if you were engaged in the political chess or jujitsu or whatever we want to call it, wouldn't it just be a hell of a lot simpler to hand the Department of State to Senator Kerry and just, or is the pushback there that we don't want an empty Senate seat in Massachusetts for Scott Brown to pick up?
Well, no, I think they can just go ahead and get who they want, but I think for the left is spending a lot of time defending her. This is my issue, and I know it's fairly parochial, but I'm just kind of sick of the so-called left in this country spending energy on fights that we should not be involved in at this point.
Yeah, well, it's a giant diversion. It's political Sharia law.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just
making
kind of
a controversy, a controversy out of something that isn't. You know, in other words, a non-troversy.
Right. You know, and the race cars and everything else they want to try to throw up, and it's just like, no, that girl is in the elite. You know.
Yeah. And yet, you know, the Republicans have created this. It's theater. It's unreal.
Yeah, I don't know. I just see people sort of going on about how they're attacking, you know, Susan Rice. Like, oh, poor Susan Rice. Like, no, she can hold her damn own. Shit.
Well, and Benedict in the chat room just pointing something else out. He says Susan Rice had her hands all over the Rwandan genocide. He says she's good buddies with Paul Kagame, who was the Tutsi general during that conflict. He was the one who chased all the Hutus into the Congo, setting up the current massacre there.
Well, yeah, she's the one that's quoted, oh, no, I don't want to call it genocide. How is it going to affect the midterm race in 1994, you know?
Right.
So she deep up in that whole Rwanda stuff. Oh, yeah, no. But, yeah, so we'll see about that, but I just think, yuck.
Yeah.
And the Syria thing is also kind of, you know.
Well, did you see the news that just broke? I just saw it come across my email that the Obama administration is affording recognition to the rebels. That they.
Which one?
Well, yeah, there's that, isn't there? U.S. will grant recognition to Syrian rebels as the country's. A coalition of Syrian opposition groups as the country's legitimate representative. Now, is this, you know, the question, it begs the question, is this an act of diplomacy, or is this the front end of some little military adventure that's being contemplated?
Well, I mean, it's just, yeah, who knows, and I'm also a bit weary of the use of chemical warfare. I mean, I suppose it's possible because Assad is one of those horrible leaders that when it's time to go, think of Romania. Because
yeah.
That fool ain't going to survive. He ain't killed too many people. He can't say, can I please get, you know, some like Papa Doc did, you know, in the French Riviera. That ain't going to happen for him.
No, because among other things, his is a family. Remember, it's a family power structure. But the thing that scares me a little bit is that his political party is the kissing cousin of the Iraqi Ba'ath Party. Remember the Ba'ath?
Yeah.
And if the chemical weapons do fly, then bang, there you are. It's the Ba'ath Party. It's Saddam all over again. He killed his own people. By the way, has anybody checked in to see where Syria got the chemical weapons from?
Well, they've had him. I mean, they've had him for, you know, since his father was there. I mean, it's not like some sort of new acquisition. And I think they probably got a lot from the Soviet Union, too.
Because weren't the chemical weapons shells that Saddam used on the Kurds stamped "Made Proudly in the USA"?
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, wasn't that one of those deals that Donald Rumsfeld negotiated?
Yeah, but that's Iraq. Syria has a real long connection with the former Soviet Union.
And shouldn't the Israelis be more than a little bit nervous about all of this?
Are they just
happy to see Syria tearing itself apart, and this will be a great time to go roll in and just check in on a little bit of Lebensraum?
Well, I saw the report that they were passing out extra protection to their soldiers. So, I mean, like different antidotes for various chemical atrocities. So I guess they're aware of it. But, you know, the big worry is if, you know, Assad might lose his mind and send one of them Scud missiles over to Israel full of whatever gas. I mean, these are the sort of horror scenarios you got to keep your eye out for.
Well, exactly, and that's kind of my point, that this thing can go sideways in a real hurry.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a worry, and you know, hearing Obama talking about it's a red line, it's like, well, what are you gonna do? You gonna mobilize 500,000 U.S. soldiers to invade Syria? Well, I don't think so.
Yeah, because while the right wing loves them some war, they don't like it. They can you imagine it, Sandra? The right wing, the graham crackers and everything suddenly becoming doves? Because they will.
Well, Syria has the potential to destroy Obama's presidency. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. And I don't know. Are they savvy enough not to let that happen? Or is this, and that's the question I asked, is this the front end of them going, screwing this up?
Well, look, no, I'm not that confident, because his dumbass thought taking out Gaddafi would be some sort of vacuum, and now we got Mali. Hey, what are we gonna do about that? Okay, that's a result of the Gaddafi madness. You know, people don't understand that there is a cause and effect when you take out governments and you don't have a plan after you take them out.
Yeah, you mean that whole win the peace thing?
Well, because Libya, when they did that, they had no means of containing the zillions of arms that flowed into that country. Now all those arms are flowing to Mali and God knows where else. And Mali is about to, you know, it's a bit of a civil war-ish type situation there, and Clinton is trying to get Algeria to commit troops, and Ethiopia. I mean, it's, you know, that's bubbling up down there.
It could get real fun real fast, couldn't it?
But what I mean, my point being, is that you can't assume that these folks are very competent. Because if he thought he could just bomb Libya without any consequences, which is what he did, then it's a bit of a worry about how he's going to address Syria.
Well, I think Syria is a little bit more nervous-making, because you've already got the Turks, who are kind of on edge and have flung a few shells. You've got Israel down to the south and west, and well, it's got a. I hate to put it this way here, as we're about to be in the 99th year after the start of that little dust-up in 1914. But there's something about Syria that has kind of a Balkan flavor about it, isn't there?
Well, and then we have this fool in Egypt who thought, oh, wow, I'll just become a dictator again. Are you kidding me? This dude, you know, that situation is really disturbing, too. It's like, oh, wait a minute, what are you doing? So, yeah.
I mean, if we stop talking about, I guess what I'm getting at is if we stop talking about individual countries and start talking about regions. Let's see. The Greek fascists have decided to start attacking the Egyptians, and apparently there's a sizable Egyptian population in Greece, mainly fishermen and such. Greece is blowing up. Turkey's next door to Greece, and they've never really gotten along. And Turkey's also not getting along real well with Syria, and Syria's blowing up. Meanwhile, you've got the political instability around Morsi in Egypt, and then on top of it all, there is there's that quivering, neurotic, apartheid, paranoid mess of Israel sitting on a God knows how many nuclear warhead stockpile. Looking at it regionally, it gets a little nervous making.
Well, yeah, it's
It's one of those ping pong balls into a room full of mousetrap situations.
Well, and it's also because you have to put this in context of the long decline, which is what I'm calling the hegemon that's the U.S. You know, it's and so you see the decline in the unending unrest that's going on because as repressive as it was for those people, the fact that all those countries had these dictators was a testament to the power of the U.S.
Yeah, because we propped them up. I mean,
right. We
propped up Greek fascism for how long in the 20th century? You know, after the Second World War?
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about.
And you know, it's just so, I don't know. I have to say I'm kind of fearful for, you know, next year and what's coming down the pike. I mean, the fact that the U.S. is quite happy to sort of roll around in this fiscal shit, you know, it's just out of control. Because this made-up crisis is... It needs to get wrapped up. I'm really so sick of it because it's...
But isn't it possible that the way it wraps up is to just let the thing roll over and then start working on a solution for the whatever remains of the middle class?
I mean, well,
isn't any so-called bargain or deal inherently loaded with just ugly, ugly, ugly stuff that's aimed at families like yours, mine, and the Horn families?
Yeah, well, it's looking more like, I mean, I don't, does it look like they're coming to some sort of agreement? Well, don't they leave on the 21st?
That was the last I saw. Of course, they could be held over. But, you know, Boehner's not going to ask anybody to do any heavy lifting. It's a staring contest right now. And I guess that's the other side of the coin, too, Sandra, because, you know, are these things, these trial balloons that are being floated up and are falling immediately to the ground as if they are full of lead? Is that the brinksmanship of the Obama administration trying to prove that the Republican House is just the madder than a hatter and crazier than a sprayed roach? Because I think the country already knows that, don't they?
Yeah, and I think that's why Boehner is sort of, you know, freaking out, because they may try to pretend that the voters are on their side and pretend that this election didn't happen, but it did, and every indication is that they stand to be worse off if this continues on and on. They do, not Obama per se. So if he's clever, he'll just, you know, let the first come, and because they've kind of been hearing this rumor that we'll let him raise to 37%. Well, what's the point? Have you, you know, there's that possibility.
Right, and, but, you know, Lindsey Graham pointed out, you know, it'll run raising the taxes on the rich will run the country for, or maybe it was, or was that Sessions, for 11 days.
Well,
I can't tell.
Okay, and raising the retirement age will save the country $5 billion. What's your point?
Right. So, what the whole thing is that it seems like we're talking about a certain degree of irrelevance, because ultimately the big problem with the rich is that they're not really filing much in the way of 1040s. They're not affected as much by income withholdings because they're all filing capital gains, and it seems to me that, you know, the capital gains problem is the unacknowledged problem that everybody wants to not talk about.
Well, no, the fact that Obama...
Why shouldn't the capital gains rate be the same as the max marginal rate?
No, exactly. And the fact that Obama isn't, you know, it's just mealy-mouth kind of stuff. Why isn't he saying, I need the unemployment insurance extended, I need the capital gains tax doubled, the inheritance tax raised to 45 on the first million. You know, he should be coming out with that kind of stuff. You know, the hell with it. But we're not hearing that. We're not hearing anything. We're not hearing, I'm going to lower Medicare to 62 for 5 years in order to replenish this, that, or another. I mean, there's so many things that he can do.
Yeah, there are real world solutions out there that are not even in the universe of even vague consideration. And I'm not talking about by the Republicans. I'm talking about by those who are allegedly on our side.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he has the election behind him. He could easily step out tomorrow and say, fellow Americans, we're going to lower the retirement age to 62 for a period of 5 years in order to open up the job market. What do you think would happen if Obama did something like that?
The Republicans would declare that he had embraced Maoism.
Well, I'm just saying, though.
I think the real world effect would be that you would see a lot of you would see a lot of unemployment probably go away.
Right. I mean, there's, you know, we're going to end the carry interest that the Mitt Romneys of the world use to exist, or we're going to raise the capital gains to 40% as opposed to 15.
And realistically, and I don't have the. I don't have the economic or statistical bona fides to address this, but would that cripple Wall Street? Would Wall Street suddenly crash? Would the Dow suddenly fall to 4,000?
Well, I mean...
Or would it still be the...
Yeah, but remember, the stock market is now, I forget what percentage, some huge percentage is front-run by machines.
Yeah.
So, to be honest... I don't know. It ain't nothing that a huge sovereign nation like the U.S. couldn't recover from.
Well, what?
In fact, to eliminate some of the financialization of our economy, a good crash might be just what we needed.
Well, what would happen, for instance, with a penny transaction tax on all those machine transactions? A penny.
More
a stinking penny.
More money for the government?
Yeah, more. How about $4 a day for food stamps instead of $3?
You know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, no, the sort of fake wealth creation needs to be taxed until it stops. Because obviously, you know, expanding the financial sector has really hurt the U.S. economically. So the only way it can be curbed is, you know, that conservative saying to tax is to destroy.
Yes.
Well, yeah, damn Skippy. How about some, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The power to tax. What is that, McCulloch versus Maryland?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I always hated that. I always like, oh, please, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you just mentioned, of course, you just took us into the Supreme Court. Don't you love Fat Tony?
Well, he is hilarious. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I know people were like upset, but I was laughing. I thought, oh my God, this guy is just, you know, and he's so combative.
No, he's,
and,
yeah,
like,
he's straight up babbling psychopath at this point.
Yeah, he needs to go away. Go hunting with Dick Cheney or, you know, some drunk driving or something, you know. I don't know, but really. Bye-bye, Tony.
Well, honest to God, when you know, he said that thing equating homosexuality with murder, and that is odious as hell. It is. But then when he followed up and said, and just in case you're wondering, my Constitution is dead, 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 dead. That's a quote. Four deads. He said the Constitution of the United States is dead. And I just... I just kind of sat there reading the story with my mouth hanging open, catching flies.
No, that's
a hell of an admission.